Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 5th of July 2022. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the fact that only men are sexist. There is no irony in that statement.
Good, we're better at it anyway.
Even more drag queen degeneracy, and your kids will own nothing and be happy. At least that is the promise from the British government now, which is fantastic. Thanks for that one. But I suppose we should start off with the fact that only men could be sexist. You know, I just can't get over the phrase only men could be sexist. Like, it makes any kind of sense. It's like...
It makes perfect sense to me. I mean, women should just give up trying to be sexist. We've cornered the market.
No good at it. That's your position.
That's my position. Men are better at everything. Therefore, just stop trying to be sexist, women. You suck at it.
Anyway, moving on to the thing I'm going to promote today, of course, being the interview with Posey Parker, which, I don't know, maybe she'll give you the crown for sexist.
I'm king of the misogynists now.
Anyway, because she's going to get a mention here, of course, and also we did an interview with her a while back, so if you are not subscribed or whatnot, you can go and check that out on the website. But to get into her tweet itself, I saw that she posted this morning, which is an advert from EE, which people who don't know is a phone company in the UK, and... have Kevin Spacey on a lot to try and advertise that they sell phones for good prices.
Not Kevin Spacey, Kevin Bacon.
Oh, Kevin Bacon, sorry.
Kevin Spacey would be very different.
A bit of a mess up there. But anyway, Kevin Bacon's been fired, and instead they're doing this now, which is that they're putting up these signs that says, she's not the one sending death threats.
You know what puts me in the mood for buying a phone? Being morally lectured.
About the fact that only men send death threats to women. Women would never do that to other women. Not even once. According to EE,
nope.
Of all people. They say in here, of course, that sexist hate starts with men and can end with them. 100% men. That's right, I'm not a sexist, but only men can engage in sexist
Listen,
hate.
Listen, I don't know if whoever wrote this has been to a club with a bunch of women, but when they start...
Ever met a woman?
Yeah, when they start talking to you, when they're on their own, they can be a little bit catty.
God, I hate her. Anyway, so they continue. All men can be part of the solution if they call out hate when they see it. Tackling sexist hate, not her problem. And I can't...
I always try and call her out for it, but then she says it's not her problem. So how am I supposed to solve this?
I know you're my girlfriend, but you got to stop
it. You've got to stop it.
But it's just the fact that I can't get over the fact that, okay, yeah, this is normal now. This is advertisements on London Underground, which have banned political advertisements, of course, because they got into a fight over that. But this is fine.
This seems pretty political to me, but, you know, who am I to say?
Yeah, aligns with, feminist logic here, of course, doesn't it? But there's also the aspect that, as Posey points out, there's also the intersectional point, which is certain kind of men won't be held accountable for that because they're women, trust me. Mm. But then if you go to the next one here, there's also the fact that there are plenty of groomer women out there in the world. This is some groomer fan mail that Lauren Chen got sent, and a few of these being women who were very polite about her, saying that they were going to bash her head in and whatnot, which... lovely people. Lovely, lovely people. Trans commie furry. Okay.
I have seen very many women sending these kinds of messages to women on Twitter, like Lauren Chen, who have put themselves forward as being pro-life. You get lots of very nasty things. And lots of people also sending it to men and just saying, I hope your wife miscarries, or I hope your wife dies, or I hope your wife gets raped. It's lovely.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like I'm kind of beating a dead horse in the sense that, did you know that women can actually be sexist? But apparently I have to prove that now, because EA are confused deeply.
I could still do better.
If good. You do better than the next one, because we also have the highly indoctrinated women, of course, are also highly unstable. In society, we need to burn it all down, light it on fire, unhinged pro-abortion activists calling for destroying the Supreme Court.
Well, I mean, I couldn't do better than that for one special reason, which is men built civilization. Why would I want to burn that down?
But you might think, just like, what the hell is this advertisement campaign? I know we're all used to the stone toss meme at this point. How will this help us sell burgers? Burgers? I mean, they're selling ideology.
One of the things, that picture, there was those men surrounding the advertisement, looking down in judgment at you. And it's like, how would you feel if you were that guy? Because that associates you directly with being a sexist pig.
Yes, every one of the football men involved in this are saying themselves are unbelievably, don't say based. So then we have EE, which are describing what this is all about. They say, not her problem. EE, Hope United squad, assembles to tackle online sexist hate ahead of the UEFA Women's Euros 2022, which no one knew was happening anyway, so thanks for reminding us. They say in here, the reasoning as to why they're doing any of this. Do you think they found a huge rise in sexist hate against women? Exclusively from men?
I think they might have manufactured a study to show that there is.
Yeah, they funded a YouGov survey and then asked people their opinions on reality, and then went with that, instead of finding out what reality is.
YouGov pollsters, reality.
There's also that aspect. saying here, a recent YouGov survey commissioned by EE, so your own funded research, which means it's garbage on the face of it, okay, has revealed that 52% of the UK public don't feel safe on the internet and say that it's not a safe space for women. Around 60% of the UK believe that not enough is being done to tackle online and offline misogyny. Furthermore, nearly half, 46% of people who have seen or experienced online sexism didn't do anything about it. Because it wasn't significant, was it? Whatever that answer is. I saw someone making a sandwich joke. What are you going to do? Call the cops? I mean, you could in the UK because, you know, we live in a hellhole, but no one did because it's obviously ridiculous. But this is the main point on why they did this. While 63% of UK males feel men are more responsible than women for misogynistic behaviour online, this is compared to 70% of women who believe that men are responsible for the misogynistic behaviour online.
Rookie numbers. Yep. Got to bump them up.
And both are also dead wrong.
Oh, obviously. I mean, this is all based on qualitative data, how you're feeling about the situation. So it doesn't actually say anything about reality beyond how a few pollsters feel about the situation.
Yeah. Self-funded research, so it's garbage. YouGov, so it's garbage. But you also, you know, if we ignore those, you went to the public and said, what do you think reality is like? And the public said, well, I don't know, here's an answer. And then You went, that's good enough for me.
If I went to the Flat Earth Society and asked them all, do you think the Earth is round? And then use that as the entirety of my data. Oh, a new study finds 100% of Brits think Earth is flat.
Good. That means it is, because They think it.
So therefore it is, yep.
They also have a bunch of dumb quotes from dumb footballers, which I'm not going to bother with, because it kind of feels like bullying. I mean, people who don't know anything.
I mean, Gareth Southgate, ooh.
He's the only one in there that I am going to, because he's jumped into this before, and he has the amazing quote, which is, men can do better. They literally can't, Gareth, in case you're wondering.
I mean, better at what?
Well, not being sexist to women, presumably. Because if you go to the next one here, we can see the evidence. Instead of just asking people their feels on the evidence, is that, half of the misogynistic tweets sent by women. So, there you have it.
I mean, duh. I mean,
half of the misogyny is done by
half
the population.
What a surprise!
I, for one, am shook that it's women sending each other C-word quotes, because why would they? But why let real evidence get in the way of your YouGov poll? So, instead, they decided to go further and started making more adverts than just those posters, and I thought I'd play some of them. They're hilarious, if nothing else. We'll start off with the first one here, which is they made this advert, which is, firstly, I'm not going to play the first bit because it's quite medical, and I know a lot of people eat breakfast or eat lunch to the show, so I won't show that. But it's mostly just these women in football getting their legs taken out and stood on and whatnot, and then surgery, and then teeth being removed and having to put in new ones. And then a lady has a period on the pitch in the middle of it in her white shorts, and, you know, it's quite embarrassing. And, problems you might have with football. But then they show us the real problem that they have to deal with.
No.
Let's play.
Women be problems every day. But sexist hate, that's not her problem. It's ours.
That terrifying shot of them all staring down at me. I feel like the fist was about to pop out of the screen.
It's not her problem. It's ours to deal with.
Yep.
It's like, we're going to be the ones sending those texts. I do love the idea as well. It's like, for people who are listening, hey, what the text message said was, it, stay in the kitchen, you stupid B-word. And I'm just imagining in my head, just, from mum.
Yep. Well, I mean, to be fair, I will say, I have seen plenty of times, and this is from my own significant other female friends that I do have, that there is a lot of truth to the idea that there are those men who say, hey, 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 you stupid C, hey, 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 why aren't you messaging
there
back?
There are the nice guys.
Yeah, there are the nice guys out there, but
Bob and Virgin.
Yeah, Bob and Virgin, the classic. But they're not exactly the overwhelming majority of men. And the women who I've seen get that sort of abuse seem to just brush it off because they know it's something that happens, as sad as it is that it does happen, it's something that they can just deal with.
But they're not even saying it's average women. These are, you know, poor oppressed footballers who are at the height of their game.
My heart bleeds.
Are having to deal with public comments saying, get back in the kitchen. And apparently half of those go from women. So, okay, the idea that only men do this is ridiculous. And also I love the weird framing where it's like, it's not her problem, it's ours, as if they're going to do it from the weird Bukkake angle.
Well, once they again,
had.
Yeah, this whole the whole framing of the imagery to do with this is all people who are very privileged and very rich, literally looking down at you.
Yeah, every single photo, every single piece of merch you'll see. And we'll get to the website itself, because they've set up a website for this. This is, again, hilarious to look at. I just love here that sexist hate is not her problem. I was like, eh, what's she whining about it then? But Gareth Southgate talks about why sexist hate is not a woman's problem. It's one of the first things that pops up. And I've got a clip of that in which he explains that it's male privilege to be the only source of misogyny. As if, like, it's a glory of ours.
I mean, it is a privilege.
Let's play that clip.
I hope we can talk. Because the privilege of being a man sometimes blurs our vision. And there's a clear problem we all need to tackle.
The amount of abuse I get for being a woman is unbelievable.
Sexist hate has stifled women for far too long.
It's something we suffer every day.
Designed to devalue and damage, the disregard remains strong.
Get back in the kitchen.
Whether it's online or offline, the purpose is clear.
To belittle me. Harass me. To make me disappear.
It just adds to the climate of intimidation and fear.
Deep down, those comments really do affect people.
It shapes you.
As a son, a brother, a friend or a father, it's a stain on us all that the requirement for female success is skin thick enough to weather that storm.
We shouldn't have to deal with negativity, but we have to.
It's mind-blowing.
What demand is that? Like, I want to be a public figure, but there to be no negativity. Are you actually a toddler? What is wrong with you? Like, no, part of being a public figure is getting...
Bad things is when people do things that are bad, don't you know?
Get back in the kitchen. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
I mean, of all the things they could highlight as well, get back in the kitchen is such a meme. It's like, so pathetic.
I've seen women saying it to each other.
Yeah, it's just, I say it to my fiance all the time, and she tells me to F off, but it's an endearing thing, you know, it's a little joke. So, but I mean, once again, there is legitimately, I would say, a problem nowadays with young men isolating themselves and you know, the whole incel culture where you start to demonize women. Stuff like that. There does seem to be a problem with that. But this kind of moral, goody-two-shoes, busybody lecturing from rich people is not going to change anything.
Literally BS rhetoric, which is that this is all from men, and the thing we need to do is to teach men to stop saying get back in the kitchen and then the whole world will be perfect. Mm. Sorry, that's the message. That is just obviously pathetic. It's like a child eating crayons made that up.
Yeah.
Let's make an effort for that.
And to address the incel thing I just brought up as well, solving the problem is not going to consist of just insulting these people. Somehow that might make them feel a bit worse and strengthen their resolve of the hatred of women.
But I love that we should be able to have no negativity. I mean, it's not how you're dealing with children. I remember when the American female team was saying, it's so unfair that we don't get paid the same as the male American team. I was like, it's because you don't do the same job. You don't get the same number of views. You don't get the same number of cash responses. It's that simple. Shut up.
Yep.
So I am fully biased against female football in its entirety, considering what the feminist activists have been doing in that scene for a long time.
Yeah.
So, but we'll play the next clip in the same video, which is they say, why should women even bother playing football?
There's been times where I'm just like, why do I play football? Because what's the point?
Because football is football, no matter who kicks the ball.
It's everyone's game.
And the same goes for life. Living is for all.
I just want to be the best version of me.
Women have the right to grow great without your judgment. Their potential isn't secondary to ours. So ask yourself, how can anyone be the best version of themselves when we place limits on their powers?
We're in this race, but we're kind of chained from behind, which no one can really see.
Be sure the words we use matter. Call out those who shame.
Your words don't just hurt one of us, it hurts all of us.
Show that we care, so the next generation won't suffer the same.
It is important to check and challenge people.
But it's not about pointing the finger. Let's educate so we grow. Because nobody's perfect. That we all know. As allies, put yourself in their shoes. And we can all hope for change.
For something so small, you could make the biggest difference in someone's life.
Because it's not her problem to solve. Not now. Not then. And if sexist hate starts with us, it must end with men.
He's just giving me a light slap on the way out there. Why does Gareth Southgate talk like he's only just learned to speak English?
I don't know, but I love, I mean, everything about it is obviously, you know, so manufacturedly BS. I mean, the weird poem narrative, the fact that he at one point goes, you know, some of us know better than others, and it just points to some guy who then looks down, as if that player is actually the one. He's
yeah, that's
cut.
Right, you, Tim.
Like, he's skank cut from South Park, who's been doing all the trolling the whole time. It's Timmy over there. But it's just all over the place. Again, it's all men, just obvious nonsense on the face of it. Like, no one is falling for this, surely. And then the idea that women can just become as good as men, trust me. Of course, everyone again knows that's obvious BS. Yeah. Just why
it's
are you
football,
playing this?
No matter who's kicking the ball. Is it? Is why, it really?
Why do women bother playing football?
I mean, when she said, you know, at the beginning, you know, why? I wonder why I bother. I mean, you are probably better at making sandwiches, so.
No, but that's just the point of, like, you know, why do we bother when we don't get treated the same? It's like, yeah, well, we're thinking the same thing. However, this isn't the end of it, which is that they then move on to the Twitter instructions to you, which is the EE has decided that their most important project right now is to teach you how to use Twitter.com. I'm not joking. They made a series of adverts in which they teach you how to mute, how to filter comments, how to follow more women on Twitter.
Can they teach me how to go viral?
No. It's just how to engage in more, you know, wallpaper-based politics.
A woman probably made it, so.
let's play this one in which you can see.
To beat sexist hate, you need skills. Here's how to report hate you see online. We won't let the haters win.
No one wants to see sexist hate online. Here's how to block accounts that post it.
We all want to cut out sexist hate from our social media. Here's how to mute the content you don't want to see online.
With so much hate on social media, you need a sound defense. Here's how you filter offensive comments from your screen.
Listening to more positive content is a great way to drown out sexist hate. Here's how to follow women's voices. That's more balance in your browsing.
Everything about that.
I really learned a lot.
Number one, who needs those instructions? I mean, presumably those players there who can't deal with the fact that, someone says something about the kitchen, block.
I mean, they can barely read, so I'm not surprised they can barely use Twitter.
Maybe that is the target market was the people engaging in the marketing who are that dumb that don't know how to use Twitter.com, of all things. They also did the same thing for Instagram and YouTube and so forth. But then I love the M1 there, where he's just like, oh, by the way, you can follow more women on EE's lists of women. If you go and check that out, it's all journos.
Oh, big surprise.
Okay,
number one, Taylor Lorenz.
Do I want more wallpaper paste? But maybe not. But this isn't the best thing. The best thing about this campaign is the lack of self-awareness they had when they came up with this final idea. Okay, so you've educated the public. All men are responsible for this. Only men are responsible for this. By the way, you need to block them by going on Twitter.com. All right, we've done our bit. Should we end it there, lads? No. What we should do is we should track the hate. We should measure how many N-words, how many C-words, you know, so forth that we're getting, and then put them in a league table and then make custom shirts depending on how insulted I get. So that the public have an incentive to... Wait, what?
This sounds amazing. I can get to the top of the leaderboards. Oh, my God.
They have produced shirts for the players to wear, and they are custom-made, depending on the kind of comments they got. Let's play that and see what they're up to.
There's a danger that the hate has become a norm. If you're low and you're not having a good time, things can get the better of you.
Cardiff University and Hate Lab have a civic mission. And this was a project that we definitely wanted to get involved with.
Scientifically produced.
We'd be monitoring hate speech, targeting all the key players. Data is collected around key matches and whenever those players are actually using social media. We use our ethical form of AI to then classify that data to feed into the creative, vibrant design of the shirts.
What we're trying to do here is tell a story and put it literally onto a player's chest. We created a generative art application that can make designs from numbers. It's basically made up of two things, a pattern which we designed that represents hope, and then several different other types of kind of disruptors that represent hate, and they mess up the pattern. Now you can see it, you can't avoid it, it's there.
Each individual player has a unique experience online. We've captured that and created a unique shirt for them. It's really important that we made a football shirt that people wanted to wear. I'm a massive football fan. I wore the shirt. I've worn it to 5-a-side last week.
I just love the idea of,
I want to see Marcus, whatever his, Rashford.
Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, yeah, I want to see his shirt.
Just pure noise.
Yeah.
So, most of this from the Indians in India, but oh well.
And the Italians, a lot of it.
Oh, God. But there you have it, scientifically produced hate from the hate lab.
Do you think these people look at themselves in the mirror when they wake up in the morning and just think, what am I doing?
I don't know.
What am I doing with my life? I'm designing an algorithm to make a special shirt for people's hate log on messages online.
But also the idea, like, if they keep this going, like, I mean, what do you think the fans are going to do? Like, I want to see how much I can mess up the shirt, obviously. Like, what else are you supposed to do in response to that?
I want them to just, like, make shirts for the public that just take, like, the most insulting thing that they've sent to somebody. Like, you can get the leaderboards. Like, if you made a worldwide sexism leadership board, one, that's one leadership board that maybe women could get to the top of. and two, I would love to see all women just wandering around with a shirt that just says skank in big, bold letters on it.
The juicy, I suppose. But yeah. If you go back real quick, John, there's also at the bottom of that page that they've produced, they also mentioned that you can buy the kit. You can buy your own shirt. Personally made, depending on the hate that the player you choose as well. You can get the kit that everyone's talking about for £40. Nice and cheap. There. 100% from the sale price of each shirt will be donated to the Cyber Smile Foundation, they say as well. I just love it. Look at that. Profanity, severe toxicity rating. I mean, it's like Top Trumps. It was just like hope 33% and going down.
Yeah, well, my shirt beats your shirt.
my shirt's got more N-words on it than your shirt. We get to the next one here. You can see there's a guy here. I don't know who he is. Some guy called David, the new normie, who has decided to order one of these £40 shirts for solidarity's reasons. I don't know if he read the small print, because of course none of that money goes to anyone who got any of the naughty words on the internet. It goes to the Cyber Smile Foundation instead. Who are they? Let's just check out their tax returns real quick. If you get the next thing here, they've got two employees, each on 50,000. Very good. Taking about $500,000 every year. Got 181,000 in the bank. That's good. They spend 286,000 on marketing and public relations. Their total expenditure is 427,000. So that means 67% of the money they get goes to marketing. 2.4% on educational material to stop hate.
It's a good grift if you can get on it, isn't it?
I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers as written in their tax returns, but it looks to me like essentially someone putting money in their family's back pocket, presumably, or a friend's back pocket. I don't know what else you think they're doing with that money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you're spending 2%.
It's just a coincidence that my uncle and my marketing team are the same person.
I'm sure that's not the case in at all. Although, why do they spend 67% on marketing? But they also say they partnered up for this initiative with Internet Matters as well. You might wonder, who the hell are they? And, well, we have the tax returns from them as well. And they say in here they work with Sky, BT, TalkTalk, Virgin Media, and they charged $1.2 million last year for marketing services. E's owned by BT. So, who do you think made those adverts? You want to guess? Probably these guys.
Probably.
Who probably charged another million for all of those, maybe more. I mean, they are working with footballers.
A million to get people to just look down condescendingly at the camera.
Yeah, they are... managed to lose $1.8 million last year, according to the tax returns.
What? Oh, it just went missing, did it?
Yeah, it's not there. They keep losing money. I don't know why they keep the charity around, frankly. They paid themselves £220,000 between four people. So
that was in what we just managed to find left over.
Yeah, in the minus $1.8 million in the budget. So, okay. There's also one charity that charges a huge amount for advertising services. So presumably made all the adverts, as I mentioned. And another charity that gets cash from dumbass pretend sales that no one's buying. I mean, David the Normie brought one shirt. That was the only one I could find. Don't know how else is buying those things. So obviously, I don't believe this is very legit, to say the least. This looks to me like a huge waste of everyone's time and money involved, except people's pay packets, presumably. And presumably the measure is that BT can then say they spend money on charity. In the meantime, these groups get to poison all of society through punching in their nonsense that men are responsible for all this sexist hate online. And who cares about that? Who cares about the culture of the nation in which we live? The money to be made. But I mean, that's the ultimate point. It's just, why is this kind of marketing fundamentally acceptable? I mean, why does this keep going on? And that's the thing. It'll only stop when it starts to hurt them. I mean, I do wonder if we should have some kind of like limit. You know, like you dump toxic waste into the rivers. You get done for it. I feel like making this kind of crap adverts where you start blaming all men for all problems. I mean, I'm pretty sure that is illegal already. under Ofcom's guidance.
Yeah, but these guys, they don't see it as dumping toxic waste in the rivers. They see it as dumping sunshine and rainbows in the rivers.
Yeah, 100%. But there you have it. There's the fact that all men are sexist, and no irony was lost on these people.
All right, and with that, speaking of toxic waste that's poisoning our culture, let's talk about even more drag queen degeneracy. That's right, it might be Pride Month is over, but we all know that Pride Month is never over. Pride Month is every month. Pride Year is every year. We are part of the Pride Empire as it stands right now, because they have control over the culture, they have control over the institutions, they have control to a certain extent, especially over here in the UK, where you're not allowed to say certain things or you might get arrested because we don't have a First Amendment like you Yanks do. They can control your everyday lives, and also will probably also end up controlling your children, which is all wonderful things to think about for the near future, and I can't wait for this whole thing to come collapsing down. But until then, we can point at this stuff and say, God, this is horrible, please stop. And hope that somebody listens, I suppose. But before we go any further, I'll just point to the recent hangout that you did with Carl, Hangout 15, premium content subscribers, talking about how gatekeeping works. Now, I know that you guys were talking in this context about Warhammer 40,000, which is not something I really take much time to look into, but the message overall is something very positive, which is gatekeeping does work. And I think
it applies to every hobby or every club.
Yep, and every culture. I would say, for instance, the Taliban sure did a fantastic job gatekeeping us Westerners, after all. So it can work with a culture, and we in the West really need to start gatekeeping our own traditions a bit more. So I don't know if you covered this the other day, but if we go to the first link, this has been spreading around online from libs of TikTok and other such people right now. I've got it as a clip, but let's not blow this up to a full screen. I think John's going to do it anyway, so just play it. Thanks, John. Have you covered this yet? Yeah, it's not nice. Yes, so sorry to put you all through that. If you were eating your dinner, as Callum referenced earlier, I apologise. But no, I want to use this as a springboard to talk about stuff, because this has been going around and this sort of stuff has been going on. We've seen the leftists say that no, this is not the sort of thing that happens. Obviously, it's all just pantomime. Kids love it because it's not sexualised. There is no way.
Anthony Sullivan was saying, oh, it's just pantomime. Like, this is a British thing that happens every
Andrew
year.
Sullivan, do you
Sorry,
mean?
Is it Andrew Sullivan?
In America, the English guy.
And I saw Chris Rufo just post this in response, like, is it still pantomime?
Yeah.
Buddy?
Andrew Sullivan seems like a very, very confused man whenever I see him, like, interacting with anything in public. But no.
I don't see him too bad, but it's just on this one, he seemed to massively drop the ball.
Well, he's also a massive, got massive amounts of TDS.
All right.
So,
what's that?
Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think he voted for Biden just as a protest vote against Trump.
Good job.
Thanks, Andrew. but yeah, so this sort of stuff is going on. It is very sexualized. This stripper has money strapped into her thong. She's wandering around with her tits out with just some tape covering the nipples. And it's just ridiculous. The caption for this says, children belong at drag shows. Okay. And children deserve to see fun and expression and freedom. Now, this, of course, is from the side that brought you lockdowns and children being locked in home all day. So, you know, freedom is not something that really seems to come into their mindset until it comes to degenerate BS like this. And there is the question to be brought up, which is, why do these queer communities, because this is what this will be, this is a queer community, why do they feel the need to perform in front of children? Why do they feel comfortable performing in front of children?
We covered the individual who posted this clip was very much of that ilk and was very proud of this, as you can see just with the posting there as well. Yeah. Okay, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you doing this?
And I would say that it's primarily because they are actively trying to destroy our culture and replace it with something malformed and toxic and awful. And I would also say that this is not freedom in a way that I would like to describe it. It's freedom to be a degenerate, yes, but freedom does require standards and responsibility. Otherwise, everything collapses. And if you're not telling me that this is a sign of a collapsing society...
I don't think you have the freedom to expose kids to endless sex. I think there's something wrong with you if you're arguing for that.
Exactly. But why do people go along with this sort of stuff? it is to signal allegiance to the dominating ideology of the day. And as such, I actually took a Substack post from Oren McIntyre, who does a lot of good stuff talking about this. He also is behind that famous tweet that you might have seen where, "Don't make me tap the sign, guys. It's not it's not hard. They're just evil and want to diddle your kids." That's this guy. And he did a Substack post called "Clown World as a Uniform." And I do want to just take an excerpt from this and read it, because I do think it's a good post. You should go read it if you haven't. But this sort of points out what's going on here. So he says, "Wokeness is a powerful way to separate friend from enemy in a culture war. Conservatives may be willing to jump through many ridiculous hoops to stay off the radar and keep their jobs in woke corporations or government institutions, but inevitably, if things get crazy enough, they do run into a line that they can't cross. Eventually, signaling allegiance to the ruling ideology becomes too costly for those who were just going along to get along. Give preferential treatment."
There is no getting along with someone who hates you. Well, this is like a black guy joining the Klan. Like, what's wrong with you?
But this is kind of the Andrew Sullivan conservative mindset, as far as I see it. I just want to get along. I don't want to be too mean. You see it in the National Review. You do see it from the sort of like neoconservative establishment where there are people.
The SS aren't that bad.
Yeah. Maybe DeSantis has got a few victories, but we can't have him pushing too much, or else we might not have respectable conservatism. And respectable conservatism is apparently bending over backwards to accommodate for my kids getting their advice, getting their worldview, getting their ideology from degenerates. And it's not something I want to abide. And the sort of like new right, almost old right sort of paradigm we've got going on with people like Oren McIntyre is something that's good, because they are people who are saying, no, we can't get along with this. There's no way we've ever been able to get along with this. And the fact that the establishment let it get this far in the first place is an absolute travesty and a stain on those people who let it happen. But just to finish this off, give preferential treatment to employees with the right to intersectional status. Okay. Use Latinx on company forms. I mean, sure, I guess. Pretend the guy who was named John last week is now they, them. Fine. But trans your kids to show how tolerant and accepting you are, that's okay, I'm out. That's where a lot of people will draw the line. But that's the thing. They push and push push.
Number one there was abhorrent.
Yeah, no, that's the thing.
Like, what? But that's the absurdity of it. It's like, why the hell would you go along with any of this? Like, number one thing is like, what if we just racially discriminate against white people? And you were like, yeah, go for that. I mean, I can't get over how people think that's normal. As if that's something
these people don't think it's normal, but they are trying to get along. They'll think that, oh, you know, my job's not worth it. I can't bring this up. But then
I may be
also
white, but it won't happen to me.
Yeah.
So I may be a Jew, but I think the SS are all right.
Exactly. But this is what the conservative movement's done for the past 60 years, for the most part, is just give more and more ground over and over and over again in the spirit of political compromise. And it needs to stop. And I like to think that people like us and people like Oren and people out there online are starting to give a voice to those people who say, no, this needs to stop. And also, we need to repeal a lot of this stuff that's been going on, because otherwise it'll all just happen again. And we have had reactions to this clip with Lauren Chen saying these people belong in jail. This is a hill I'm willing to die on. I will die right on there with you, because, yeah, these people do belong in jail. This is nonce behavior. And then we've got someone collating some reactions to people responding to Lauren Chen. Skinwalker says, effing crazy, these people are deranged, because some of the responses that she got are, but if a parent's okay with it, why should you care? Why should you care? Parents want to turn their kids into degenerates and show them this sort of stuff, expose them to this sort of stuff. Why do you care?
No, I kind of want to peg just an image of Epstein below that quote. There you are.
I mean, the parents consented in some cases. I'm sure there was one or two who were more than happy to take the money. So why should you care that they're being nonced? And then, if the parents slash guardians are okay with it, no one is being harmed, injured, assaulted, or killed, and the event took place in a privately owned business, why should we care? The government shouldn't legislate morality, and we should mind our own business. Well, I mean, I would classify harm as something different than you would, evidently, Mr. Chris Coleman, whoever you are. And also, we've got something interesting here, which is somebody appealing to parental rights only when it suits you. And we've also got somebody appealing to private business and independence from government only when it suits you. Do you see how these arguments work? It's the whole Twitter is a private company, they can do what they want argument, just repackaged into drag queens are private individuals, they can do what they want. These businesses hosting these events That's are right. just private businesses, they could do what they want.
I'm a libertarian socialist, as if that statement makes any sense.
Yep. I mean, it's the same as going, you know, like, this satanic ritual may be abhorrent, but it's taking place in the satanic church, it's their private property, they can do what they want with it, you know? It's just absolutely awful. And these people...
What do you mean I can't execute my children in the name of Satan? It's my child.
I mean, the Constitution guarantees me a right to privacy, doesn't it?
I remember that is actually one of the political compass memes, where it's just like, what do you mean I can't sell my kids? They're my kids.
Basically, I mean, but these people are on the list too, sickos. And we've got Auron again. I thought this was a good thread, where he's talking about people asking why trans strippers who are clearly exposing themselves to children aren't prosecuted, and he says the answer is simple, which is they're involved in a state-sanctioned religious ritual, and law enforcement knows to stay clear. It may sound a little bit hyperbolic, but basically at this point, the ritual is that of showing that you are aligned with the ruling ideology, and the police do stay clear. And do you think the kind of... when you remember when you first heard, like, Alex Jones talk about satanic child rituals, and you went, oh, good old Alex Jones just being crazy as always. Now this stuff's out in public, do you think he might have been onto something? Do you think he might have been onto something?
I mean, I do appreciate John Tron's response. Have you seen the meme with him?
Oh, yeah. They just keep coming out and saying it on TV now. Yeah.
Play the clip.
Yeah, I watched that video when it came out, and I was like, yes, John Tron, because he's got such a large audience. It's nice to see someone with as big an audience as him actually point this sort of stuff out. Just John Tron is pretty based for the most part. And then let's look over at some of the other stuff that's going on Twitter, have you heard of Keffels?
Keffels?
Keffels. Not kettles, Keffels. Well, I might have to do a segment on this person because they might actually be one of the scummiest people I've ever encountered online. They've got me blocked, even though I've never interacted with them. But that seems to be a pretty common tactic for this person. But they are a trans influencer and Twitch streamer who is very eager to spread the ideology, actively says, yes, I'm transing your kids, and then also participates in DIY hormones and puberty blockers, which she tries to distribute to her Twitch fans online, all of whom are pretty much minors. So lock this person up. As far as I'm concerned, lock them up, throw away the key, let them rot. But if you don't believe me, this is one of the screenshots from last year. This little screenshot is of Keffels. They've left out the name, but everyone knows who it is. And this may sound like fabricated. You may go, oh, this is the quartering screenshotting a screenshot. This must be fake. No, it's real. This person says this sort of stuff all the time, live on the stream. The scum of the earth might call me a groomer for it, but if a minor approaches me and asks me how to transition, I will point them to resources to help them do it. I'm gonna transgender your children. Try to stop me, bitch. Really, really restores your faith in humanity, doesn't it? But at least the positive side of someone making a statement like this is that, you know, the leaders of the flagship trans community go full mask off when this sort of stuff starts to happen. And shockingly, this person also did get suspended from Twitter recently and was whining about it because they couldn't get easy access to people's kids to trans them now. But now they are back on Twitter because Twitter's like mean and offensive jokes. Oh no, you can't have that. Transing kids, we can make some exceptions.
Just love the idea that it's like, last seen around primary school since been banned from Twitter. Sorry.
Yeah, and in fact, actually, I've just remembered, Taylor Lorenz, of all people, did a Washington Post article on Keffels recently. So if you're worried about your kid, which is almost certain to get more attention on their streams, when I say we should just ignore this person, well, preferably lock them up, but without being able to do that, just ignore them. But of course, they get way, way too much attention. But anyway, if there wasn't enough of a reason to know to not give your kids access to the internet and smartphones, I think knowing that there are literal predators who are more than happy to admit what they're doing out there should be enough to make you think, maybe a Nokia flip phone is best for you, little Timmy.
Enjoy Snake.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Trust me. But let's move over to Brit Bong Lang, where we are right now. and see what's been going on. So Metro, Metro 50 with the Pride flag in the logo, as we can see.
And it's a German flag in there
as
well.
Yes, sir. Decided to make this lovely article advertising and celebrating a drag queen sniffing poppers live on Channel 4. Drag queen Fat Butcher was captured sniffing poppers live on Joe Lycett's Big Pride Party on Sunday, and viewers are screaming. Comedian Joe marked 50 years of Pride in the UK with this celebration. I mean, who does watch Channel 4 anymore, especially on Sunday? You're right. But those four or five had some good things to say about this on Twitter. During the two-hour inclusive spectacular, which also featured a lesbian proposal, eagle-eyed viewers spotted entertainer Fat Butcher clutching a little bottle of the legal high, that being poppers, and noted them having a cheeky inhale. Naturally, the internet went mad for the moment, with the artistic director later confirming the events on their Instagram story. "Mom, I just did poppers live on TV," they penned. Viewers expressed their delight at the scenes at hand on social media, with one saying they were obsessed. You know, and this seems like just a bunch of degenerates celebrating degeneracy live on TV. We all know that, you know, the drag community
is
it's very open about the fact that there's some weird stuff that goes on backstage, and in this case, right in front of the camera. What does this have to do with the rest of what we're talking about? Well, on that, Rory, our very own Rory, has done... You don't need to scroll through this. There's some rather disturbing images in this document. Rory's done a document that he's been working on for a long time, cataloguing the escapades of Fat Butcher and why we should probably be concerned about somebody like this. And I'll just go through some of the information on here that should make you aware of. So according to Fat Butcher's website, he is the self-appointed queen of the sausage roll, intergalactic sex pot, non-binary icon in the making. Fat Butcher is Birmingham's queen of disco and amyl nitrate. Amyl nitrate being the actual name for poppers in the chemical. Fat Butcher aims to provide fat positivity and bring queer joy through her activities as a cabaret performer and outrageous Birmingham-based productions such as the Disco Bingo, Disco Tea Party, and Big Gay Disco Bike. He appeared in a queer-orientated adult magazine called You Otter Know, founded by a queer performance artist called Harry Clayton Wright. His appearance in the edition included these sorts of quotes with him talking about his experiences growing up, realizing he was queer, where he's saying, "I'm a fat, non-binary drag queen D machine. In short, I'm gagging for it, and I'm also a fatty, big 2020 mood, I know. Given the ever-changing state of my mind and body, this article is going to jump around a bit like a dream play, flitting between memory and moment, swirling my experiences of fatness, queerness, sex, and gender." And then he describes that when he was 8 years old, in the space of a few months, "I have transformed from a slim, blonde-haired, beautiful child into an overweight, four-eyed, awkward-looking brunette. This visual transformation follows a moment of realization, I am queer." And that refers to, of course, the whole idea of queer not being sexuality. It's an identity. It's a rebellion against normative society, against bourgeois morality, you know, the morality of, I want kids, I want a family, I want a happy life, and I want there to be some sort of public standards of decency when people go outside. And there's a few more quotes of his sexual experiences, and then Rory highlights, "This man is now running events for children." Does this seem like an appropriate person to be running events for children? Let's look at the evidence from this, which is the Fat Butcher announcement from a few years ago now. Palava is a new development program conceived by Fat Project that supports the creation of new queer positive performances for children and family audiences. We're delighted to be supporting it. Ooh, who's ready for another Palava party? We're back. Expect performance, games, dancing, dress-up, music, bubbles, and plenty of glitter. And here you can see Palava Kids Party. This person has just recently been caught sniffing poppers live on TV and people celebrating it. Goes on at length about all of his sexual experiences and how he knew he was queer from the age of 8 and how he transformed his opinion, his appearance, to represent that. Is this someone you think should be near your kids? So anybody watching who might know about events like this going on near you, make sure that you let the other parents know not to let their kids go, because they are literally putting them in the hands of degenerates who are more than happy to change and shape your kid's mind for the sake of the ideology. I know we always bring this sort of stuff up, but we need to keep calling it out, or else it won't stop. We need to have mass outrage at this sort of stuff or else it won't stop. We need to stop the backslide of society into degeneracy before it is too late, if it's not already too late. So, there you go.
I suppose with that, we'll move on to the...
nice white pill for everyone.
As usual. It's the fact that your kids will own nothing. So, we've all heard the phrase that you will own nothing and you'll be happy. And, well, now apparently your kids too. At least this is what will seem to be happening with housing in the UK. And I just thought I'd go on a rant about this because I'm mad, to say the least, and pretty salty. But to start off, just promotion here, the video on Lysias.com, this one's free. Immigration is the reason you can't get a house, in which we go more into depth on this. But just to go through the highlights real quick, because I just can't get over the goddamn conversation we are having in this country about this, which is now the government is, well, floating the idea that we should have 50 to 100-year mortgages. Because that's normal. That's the way to deal with the problem.
This seems
not
like,
just close the borders.
This seems like a very easy way of getting people to literally be financially in debt to you for their entire lives.
Serfs. Turn everyone into serfs.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's going to help people, isn't it? So you can see here, this is the reason for why. And you can see people are arguing, oh, look at it. Look at the fact that people can't buy a house no more. And they've got, you know, first time earning a house between all the age groups there. And the fact since 1997 and now, something changed. Something happened. Nobody knows what. Something, though. And if you go to the next one here, you have more just people I found online. It's verified check marks. As you can see here, Boris Johnson is considering allowing 50-year mortgages that can be passed down from the parents to their children in a bid to help people to get on the housing ladder. Right. Can you think of the immediate problem with that? Which is that you can't get on the housing ladder because you don't have the money to. Okay. So we're going to put your children in debt so you can. Right. And when you get old and your children get old enough, then what?
I mean...
your children are still... okay, then you've just moved it on one generation. We're just going to do it again.
That's awful. Consider the immorality of a parent choosing to do that to their child as well.
It's a ridiculous idea on the face of it.
I mean,
like, even if you ran it through its logical conclusion, it's not going to help anyone. It's like, great. That's a complete waste of time. Fantastic.
Mm.
Glad you're helping.
Yeah, I'm more than willing to sell my kids into slavery for the great state so that we can allow good old Abdul and his family to come and do the same.
House prices are so crazy that I'm going to sell my child. Right. Mm. Or we could close the borders. Nah, I got to go back to selling kids. Mm. No other way to stop this.
I mean, if it worked in the past, who are we to say?
Yeah, if you go to the next one here, you can see the other Tory response I see from this one, Tory boys. And as you can see, example here of someone being like,
oh,
just build more houses. Just build more houses, idiot. And it's just like, oh my God, look, 50-year mortgages, that's dumb, because you can just build more houses.
They're already building houses.
Yep, they're building an unbelievable amount of houses every single year, and the population doesn't replace itself. So here's the question to all the Tory boys in London. Population don't replace itself. How many houses per year do you need to build? We don't. Don't replace itself, doesn't it? So what are we doing it for? Okay, we're doing it for the immigration. They're like, sure. We can build houses. That's fine. We already are. 160,000 a year. Not doing that for the locals. Not in the least.
No. I mean, I can point to a personal experience. Where I'm from, in Crewe, there was this is an example of how it can sort of like destroy culture. Not just destroy the countryside, but destroy the local culture as well. In Crewe, we used to have this massive wall. And the wall was there because in World War II, we'd built it and painted loads of houses on it because Crewe was a very important strategic area because we've got a big railroad there. So if they had this massive wall that looked from a distance like housing, they would bomb the wall and then pass over and hopefully waste it before they get anywhere near the train station. What happened was a housing development was approved in the local area, and they wanted to destroy this wall, despite the fact everyone in town was like, no, this is part of, it's a big, ugly wall, but it is part of the local culture, it's part of our heritage from around here, we don't want you touching it. The council just did nothing, didn't do anything, and the housing company just ended up smashing it down anyway, despite not getting approval from anybody. Because they were just so lax.
The demand to just build more houses is not only for who, but also, well, what do you end up doing? Well, you end up destroying perfectly nice areas instead. But if you go forward with this, we can see that I'm just going to keep spamming this crap. I spammed it under every one of those posts, and I feel like everyone else should as well. Just until they admit that the problem, at least the people in London need to admit, because everyone else goddamn knows it, the problem is immigration. It's the number one problem. But let's play the clip again. People haven't seen it.
Housing and wages had tracked each other. The cost of housing and the growth in earnings tracked each other until the late 1990s, and then something happened. And house prices just spiraled out of control.
Detective North on the case.
unless we are building more than 300,000 homes a year, unless we are actually keeping pace with demand, right up until the early, or indeed the late 1990s, house price growth tracked wage growth. And then something happened at the end of the 1990s.
Who knows what could possibly keep wages down and push up house prices? Couldn't possibly be cheap foreign labor, could it?
Every time we play that clip, it surprises me again and again how stupid Tom Harwood really is.
Yeah, well, he's not the only one. I mean, it seems to be that just all the Tory boys in London are just so out of sync with the rest of the country, and I can't stand it.
See,
I know it's
see what I mean with the Conservatives?
Yeah, but it's really the people on London that just, I don't know what it is about that goddamn motorway around there, but it seems to just make people's brains melt. And just the idea that, like, oh my god, why is this happening since the 90s? What happened? What could possibly be keeping the wages down? Who knows? Something happened. I don't know what. Not going to investigate why, because apparently I have an IQ of 5. But even Ash Sarkar has picked up on the fact that the house prices are ridiculous. And you can see here saying, oh, what do you want back from the 70s? And she has a graph showing that average weekly earnings have been kept down, whereas house prices have skyrocketed. And she's like, yeah, couldn't we go back to the 70s? And it's like, Ash, don't know if you want to do that. Because if you go to the next one, of course, you can see the fact that, not really getting to the root of why, are you, Ash? Because things changed in the 1990s.
There's a bit of a conflict of interest. She wants to keep on winning, lads, but she also wants to afford a house. Right, you can't do both, Ash.
You can have that piece of cake or no cake. It's your choice, if you wish. But there's the options. There's also just the fact, as I've mentioned a minute ago, that the narrative of just build more houses, bro. I hate it. I can't stand it. And it's because the evidence is obviously to the contrary. Building plenty of houses. Population that doesn't goddamn replace itself. Still building 106,000 houses a year. Okay, who are we building it for? Goddamn know who it's for. And then if we go to the next one here, we can see the news itself about these, serfdom future that they want you to put yourself and your kids into. And I don't know, why are they proposing this? I mean, they're just, for what possible reason would you come up with this idea?
Yeah, I've mentioned before, my parents paid off their mortgage before they did all this, and they're planning on, I think once they're gone, leaving me the house. And a while back, I was thinking, oh, I don't know, will I keep the house? I guess I'll have to. No, I'm keeping the house. I'm absolutely keeping the house.
Yes, mine. But it's just the fact of why they're doing it. Well, to turn us on to serfs by the looks of it. Ultra-long mortgages that could be handed down to the children are being considered by Boris Johnson as a way to get young people on the housing ladder and to impoverish their children for the rest of time. Loans that last for at least 50 years are set to be encouraged by the Prime Minister as he seeks creative ways to increase home ownership in Britain. You could just close the borders. That'd be easier. We sell all our kids. One or the other. Who's more important? The kids?
Crack down on all the illegals in the country?
The people who vote for you. Do you think they care about their kids or foreigners?
I mean,
I don't know. It's a tough deal, isn't it?
Look back to 2019, Boris, and remember why people voted for you in the first place.
But he's living in London now, so...
He was already living in London, wasn't he? He was mayor of there.
Yeah,
for
he's
ages.
Always been cringe in that regard. But I remember he talked about, what was it, amnesty for all illegals at one point when he was mayor. I was just like, doesn't matter with you.
Much conservatism.
Who are you sniffing? More flexible mortgage products increasingly are being seen as a most practical route to boost home ownership amongst the young after a Tory revolt blocked a relaxation of planning laws to encourage more building. Yeah. Good actual Tories living in the countryside. I quite like living in the countryside. Quite like to keep that. It's not a huge place, this island. So that would be nice. So we're not going to do that. Instead, could you close the borders? And central government is like, I just don't get it. What can we do?
What do the people want?
Close the borders. Just no idea. Can you hear something? Unbelievably dense. Johnson hopes that such products will allow people renting in the long term to use lifelong payments to build up assets instead. Yeah, just go into debt for your whole life.
You know,
don't
the way that businesses, small businesses that start, often use your house as collateral to be able to afford the loan.
But not anymore.
Not anymore.
No more businesses. As well as allowing people to take out loans that do not require repayment once they reach a certain age. Okay, so that's state-subsidized housing then, isn't it? Because if you're going to give them loans to do that, in which it just writes itself off, okay, then taxpayers pay for that. In which case, this is just a council house by serfdom.
We're just going full socialist there.
We're giving you a council house, except you've still got to pay for it. Right. Thanks for that. Right. You will own nothing and be happy. I mean, this is just the motive they're giving you.
And Boris comes out and goes, I've been reading this excellent man, Marx, you may have heard of him.
Last month, the Prime Minister promised many more 95% mortgages as Michael Gove, the Housing Secretary, launched a review of mortgage finance. Johnson now says he wants to go further and encourage banks to create more flexible mortgage products beyond the standard 25-year loan. There's a reason for that. We'll get into it in a minute, but it's just the obvious fact that you want to pay off your mortgage before you retire, at least, because, you know, then you don't go bankrupt. But no, that's not important. Some banks are already offering products where parents and grandparents can guarantee loans to adult children without large deposits. Sources close to Johnson want to see an alternative that allows family homes to be passed down through the generations along their outstanding mortgages. So great. Okay, child slavery, essentially. Thank you very much. Child serfdom, we'll have to say. The idea is likely to fuel concerns about straddling young people with their parents' debt. Yeah, no S. Yeah, not surprised by that one. And whether such loans would stoke further house price inflation. Yeah. I mean, again, can we do everything possible to increase demand?
And that's a good point, actually. Yeah, if you go, oh, you can get this loan and you never have to repay it after you reach a certain age, so there's just the government subsidizing the whole thing. People who already own houses are going to be like, maybe £1 million for... £2 million for it? Oh, you can afford anything? £3 million?
But also, I hate the... in economic illiterate is being told, hey, by the way, house prices have reached the highest ever. In fact, they're unbelievably pricey. Quite frankly, we need to bring it down. It's a good point, man. How about we increase demand? That'll bring the house price down. Like, are you actually brain dead? Like, if we increase the demand, that'll bring the prices down.
All politicians need to do is learn one graph, the supply-demand graph, but they refuse.
Econ 101, page one, and you'd be fine. Like, you'd at least have a modicum of sense. Not even that. Quote, last year, from Boris here, celebrating this whole thing, he says, last year, actually, we had 400,000 first-time buyers. That's a great number. We're starting to turn the tide. Mm. Right, well, we let in 300,000 permanent immigrants every year. 1 million last year, permanent immigrants. So no. No, you managed to sell 400,000 homes essentially to foreigners. You're turning the... what tide are you turning? Zero. I mean, you've done nothing by those numbers, surely. In the 90s, they say, Japanese banks launched a 100-year loan scheme that could be inherited by the relatives. And this is the reason as to why people are proposing 50, but the idea is going to stay there. No, serfdom is forever, friends. However, the person who's promoting this in writing this article even says that that doesn't work. Because no S. Stupid idea.
So the Tories went, if it didn't work at 100, maybe if we just... 50, it'll definitely work now.
Quote, it never really worked. And the average length of a mortgage in Japan today is about 35 years. Forced to save for longer to get a deposit, the average age of first-time buyers has risen, meaning that banks were forced to lengthen the maximum age they would lend beyond to 65 to about 75, and now in some cases 80 is how long you're having your mortgage for, or you paid it off, because that's a healthy place. I mean, this is what really gets me mad, because the kind of things you do to a country with mass immigration are something no one ever thinks about until you get the effects. And this is one of the worst effects, frankly, in my opinion, as you can see. I mean, you're going to turn everyone into a serf. You want people to sell their children. No one's going to be able to pay off their mortgage until they're goddamn 80. But don't worry, we'll have more kinds of curry. I mean,
sounds like a fair trade-off to me. I don't know what you're on about.
I'm so sick of these people who endlessly promote open borders and endless migration. And trust me, we need foreigners because who will make my coffee in Pret?
And then they complain about house prices and wonder, it must be greedy landlords. Yeah. That's the problem.
Who will make my coffee in Pret? Well, we'll carry on then. Why can't my child buy a house? I don't know. Maybe he can put his child into serfdom. Oh, good idea. I mean, what kind of middle-class morons are actually thinking of that? I mean, you know who I'm referencing, the Question Time lady. Mm-hmm. It's just sat there, is like, well, who will make my coffee in Pret? I mean, it's the version of Donald Trump, who will clean your toilet? What's wrong with you? Continue. And they have also increased the loan terms, and today about 60% of mortgage products have a standard term of 40 years, up from 36% in 2014, according to MoneyFacts, the financial data company. Great, yeah. Everything is getting worse. I mean, you're actively trying to destroy the prosperity of the people who live here through opening the borders endlessly because you can't just do the right thing. Everyone voted for it. You can't just do it. Why? What about my housing market? Yeah, okay. Great. In practice, the debt would never be passed on to the next generation, the author writes, however. Rather, the home would be sold and the loan repaid with the proceeds of the house. As the borrower would never actually own their home, though, in reality, a mortgage for life would feel little better than renting because that's what it is. Serfdom.
Yeah.
Like, right.
And when I know that I can either die in debt and pass that debt on to my kids or just rent? What's the incentive?
What is the actual difference between these two? I mean, not really, because you never actually own the house. So, good job. Although, if we go forward with this, because I mentioned it's another stupid idea to raise demand, because that'll lower the price if we increase demand. Trust me, I don't know anything. And as you can see here, you can see another thing that came out. UK mortgage lenders told they could scrap affordability rules for buyers. These were brought in 2008 because people were lending out money that couldn't be paid back. Get rid of those rules. Why? So we can get more people on the housing property, increase demand, because that will bring down the price. I mean, again, page one of any book.
The thing is, before state-subsidized central banking, you know, where these banks are too big to fail so that we can always just print more money to bail them out, you would get banks setting these sorts of rules themselves because they go, we don't want to be lending out all this money to people who can't pay it back. We're not a housing developer. If they default and we get the house, we can't really do much to sell the house other than just throw it onto the market.
From what I've seen of people in the industry, or just I happen to watch online, a few of them have just said that essentially the banks are ignoring this. Because they're like, why would we do that again? Because it kind of blew up in our face. So why would we lend out money to people who can't pay it back?
I mean, it looks like Boris and so much of the rest of the West right now, like in Biden with Biden Bidenomics and such, they just look like they're trying to go back to 2008 to electric boogaloo.
I mean, trying to bring on a crash, perhaps. But then there's just the idiocy of, like, the high prices are too high. Let's do everything we can to increase demand. I mean, you want to grab him by the throat, just be like, are you dead? Are you alive? What's going on?
Well, because if demand is more, graph go up. Graph go up equal good.
Trust me, I'm neo-lib. But if you go to the next one here, we can just see there's also the fact that it's now the highest price ever. This is just the latest news on this. Now, the average price of a UK home sits at £271,000, which is 10 times the average salary in the UK, and 8.6 times for full-time workers' average salary. So there you have it. Nice and affordable. What are you complaining about? And if you go to London, of course, it's just kill yourself. I mean, really. Like, if you think you're going to buy a home in Kensington and Chelsea. I mean, like,
if you're in London, just kill yourself. I mean, the gangs will get you eventually, so you might as well start.
I'm joking, of course. You know, just leave London is the responsible thing to do, just looking at these numbers. But honestly, Kensington and Chelsea, 27 times average income
to
buy a house.
Don't leave London. Don't leave London. London is such a massively populated city. If they all start flooding out of London and go into the Shires, then that'll increase the local demand in the Shires as well and make it even worse.
Stay in your bug city. Rent.
Yes. There you go.
Oh, my God. I mean, just look at the numbers. I mean, just look at it. It's just unbelievable, the fact that it's so high. Just this is a ratio of average salary to average house price. I mean, you get down to, what is that, like Islington, 13 times, Ealing, 13 times. And of course, it's, you know, pretty much the same.
Is this localized to London as well, where the salaries will have to be inflated to allow them to live in London in the first place?
Yeah, and they ain't even with that getting anywhere close.
Jesus Christ.
Because if you go to the next one as well, there's also just the average graph I've shown before, but I'll show it again because it makes me mad. 2002, 5 times your average salary to buy your house. 2021, 9 times. Now it's 10 times. Sorry. Sorry about that. But, you know, who would make my coffee in Pret?
I mean, the graph has gone up, but where is the problem?
Go to any place in the world that isn't the West, you'll notice that local people also have the mysterious skill of making coffee in Pret. I mean, if you go to Slovakia, you might notice that the guy behind the counter is Slovakian, and he knows how to make the coffee, and then gives you it.
Are you telling me that unemployed, lazy teenagers might get some benefit from doing a day's work in their life?
I hate this rhetoric, where it's just lazy teenagers don't get it.
I know.
Because I can't stand, because when I was a kid, that was one of the big problems. It was just like, well, where'd you get a job? Okay, well, some rich adult some adult from some foreign country has just taken all of those. So what are you going to do? Great, thanks, wonderful. It's just like, it is also just a huge problem getting your first job as well. So then we'll just go on to the last link here, which if you ain't, quite frankly, annoyed, that this one's going to make you annoyed, because this is painful. The average home in the UK cost £1,891 in 1952. How much would that be for house prices today if they only rose with inflation? And this is going to sting. So the person who wrote this article says, so how much do you think the average home would cost if it had only risen in line with inflation? You want to take a guess? Cost a grand and a bit in 51.
Okay.
What about now?
Okay. Like, I don't know, $100,000 maybe?
Not even close. The answer, according to this money historic inflation calculator, is £63,300.
Are you serious? What kind of house are they saying? Is this like a two-bedroom?
Average home.
average home, so it'll be like two bedrooms, semi-detached sort of place.
I don't know the specific criteria.
Somewhere it's just more than livable.
Yes, certainly livable. The idea that you could just buy a home and you'd be fine. They say in here, imagine alternative reality where buying the mythical average home would cost just over twice the UK median full-time salary. And
I mean, I could afford to get a mortgage if it was that much.
Yeah, I love how they're like, oh, by the way, imagine if the house price were only two times. Hell, imagine if it was four times or six times. We'd still be living in heaven compared to where we live now, which is go to hell. You want a house? Go to hell.
I don't need to go there. I'm already there. Callum, come on.
It's just like, oh, could you imagine if it was only two times? If it was six times, we'd still be way better off than where we are. So it's just, it boggles the mind. They say in here, just think about all the productive and unproductive things you could do with the money you save, not having to raise the deposit and meet the mortgage payments required to pay 8.7 times the average salary for a home. Mind you, figures compiled using slightly different salary data by Halifax show that not so long ago weren't actually that far off. Funny. From 1950s to the 2000s, the house prices to earnings ratio remained about 2.8 to 3.4.
And then something happened.
Something. Who knows? In the late 1990s, 2000s, something happened. I mean, I'm sorry, but every time we do anything about this, we end up getting that goddamn line where you just say something happened in the UK around that time, and then everything in the UK went bananas.
Mm.
Anyway, moving on. Let's not find out what that something was. They decide to say in here it's about interest rates. Like, right, yeah, sure. And I'm sure that's what was suppressing the wages as well.
Interestingly, there are other sociological aspects that you can take from this, and you can recognise just from a logical and theoretical level how this affects people. You can go, okay, people can't afford houses and they know that there's never going to be a point in their lifetime where they can afford houses properly. Therefore, there's no reason to save up money like there used to be. Therefore, there's going to be an excess of consumption goods of like the very fleeting variety. People are probably going to spend more money on beer. They're probably going to spend more money on drugs. Society as a whole will be... Well, I mean, don't you want to get high and drunk reading this news just to numb the pain?
No, I want a house.
That's fair. You ain't getting one though, no. Son. So it's like society as a whole actually becomes more and more hedonistic the more difficult you make it for them to afford anything, because saving itself becomes disincentivized.
Speaking
it's terrible.
That, currently reading Konstantin Kissin's An Immigrant's Love Letter to the West, which we're doing a book club on. But it's just one of the statements he has in there is true, which he says, okay, capitalism, here's the benefits. What are the downsides? Yeah, young people can't buy a house. They don't have any capital. So how are they meant to be in the capitalism industry?
Yep.
Actually one of the big problems.
I mean, that's neoliberalism for you.
But the author here decides that, no, the something that happened was actually interest rates. Nothing else. Don't look into it. Interest rates were much higher, but at least that and more cautious lending kept a lid on house prices. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. People saying, oh, don't you know it's the greedy landlords buying up properties for Airbnb or to rent them out? And it's like, yes, that only works if there's someone to pay the rent. If there's no one to pay the greedy landlord's rent, then the greedy landlord loses money. So, if we're not replacing ourselves, who the hell is making up the rent?
Yeah, even the greediest landlord has a cut-off point for how greedy they can be before people just go, nah.
Nah. If there's no one to pay the landlord's rent, the landlord can't pay his mortgages on those properties. In which case, the idea that you're like, well, it's the greedy landlord who had blame for this doing all those Airbnbs, it's like, yes, but if there was no one to use the fucking Airbnbs, I really hate it. People cannot get to the nub of the issue because I guess they're just too afraid. They're just too afraid of the friggin' obvious. I know that the rest of the world has their own problems with housing, but in the UK, it's just so specific, so you know, obvious. Every time something happened in the late 1990s, 2000s, and the goddamn graph just shows it every single time. But that's enough of me whining. Can you imagine getting a house for two times your salary?
I can't. I honestly can't. I wish I could. I wish I could. That's so depressing. Like, I honestly thought when you were like, oh, if it was in line with inflation, I thought, oh, it'll still be like at least 100 grand. Come on, it's got to be at least 63 grand.
Anyway, let's go to the video comments.
To answer Harry's question about what that cat character at the football rally was, it's the main character from A Night in the Woods, a weird indie game made back in the early 2000s. I think some people noted this online. There's a bit of a macabre meta because the maker got bullied into suicide by, like, I think it was Zoe Quinn when she accused him of sexually assaulting her a lot when they were boyfriend and girlfriend. Didn't really make sense. It was very much a Johnny Depp type accusation. But these people that are holding these signs up are all the people that would have bullied him into suicide.
Hell of a message to send, isn't it? No, I saw in the comments a lot of people commenting that, so thank you for making the video comment to remind me. I did actually hear about the incident with Zoe Quinn and her cancel culture mob sort of like bullying the guy into suicide over false rape allegations. And it was very simple because I think Dev, Short Fat Otaku, has a video on it, breaking down the timeline and showing that, okay, judging by everything that was posted online, everything that was going on, there's no way that what you're saying could have happened. But too late, the guy had already killed himself, so pretty shady.
Go to the next one.
Just to answer the Bodega Bro Harry question regarding food deserts in America, the reason these exist is because of the seasonal riots that tend to occur and will burn down any large department stores they can find. Being that these cities are heavily communistic, there is going to be a culture of petty theft, which means that the people are always going to be stealing from them whenever they get a chance, and basically means that the store owners are only going to invest in the cheapest, most replaceable items, like potato chips and whatnot.
Sad, but makes perfect sense. Yeah. Thanks for that.
I was talking to my mum about, so I was showing her the Bodega Bro stuff. And she was just like, just build a supermarket. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Just local council, you know, we're tearing down this building. Okay, that lands for a supermarket. Who wants, you know, Walmart? Who wants to put something? And yeah, you're right. I was assuming some things there, wasn't I?
Yeah, we were assuming peace in the streets. So, our mistake.
The most hurtful response that I get when I speak about this publicly, and I get this both online and in real life, is when people say, I don't care.
I am a gay. Oh!
Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, good for you, lad.
That's so true.
I'm going to post that underneath our segment. Mm-hmm. That's gold. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Oh, you know, Little Britain's off the iPlayer now. It's not there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous because it's too offensive. So
it's too real. That's what it is.
Yeah, I need to raid a CEX and get some pre-owned DVDs before they start to scrub it.
Still can't believe they got that show greenlit to begin with, I'll be honest. But still, it's gold. Let's go to the next one.
The state of monarchy is the supremest thing upon earth. For kings are not only God's lieutenants upon earth and sit upon God's throne, but by God himself they are called gods.
I'll be honest, I was a little distracted by the sheep.
I was very distracted by the sheep in the background, standing on its hind legs for a moment there, reaching for the branches. It was quite cute.
I feel bad, it's like I'm making a profound point, and we're like, more sheep, please.
Yeah. I mean, I've read Hopper. Don't worry. I prefer monarchy to democracy for the most part, at least from a theoretical level. But I don't buy into all of this. Oh, the king is God's right hand man, sort of stuff. Obviously,
you need to come meet Corver and Mickey. It'll set you straight.
Oh, okay, Willie.
And we were chatting to him, and he's just like, "Yeah, so we need to bring back the Polish king." And it's like, Carlson, who's gonna be? Thinking yourself or someone in the party or something goes, the king will come.
I mean, that's the logic, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, it's not even a terrible one if a you know, monarchist, but it's just that it's so funny when you say it because no one talks like that. But let's go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with a legend from North Jersey. This time it's the Devil's Tower of Alpine. The Devil's Tower was built in the early 1900s by a millionaire for his wife Harriet so she could admire the view of New York City from the Jersey side. Unfortunately, the millionaire cheated on her and Harriet threw herself from the tower and died. It is said that if you drive around the tower three times, you'll meet the ghost of Harriet. And if you walk around the tower backwards six times, you'll meet the devil himself.
Ooh. Like the ghost of Harriet's just there waiting. Like, is it three times yet? Is it three times yet? Oh, okay, quick. Boo!
Said by who? Like the tower gift shop manager. Like,
I mean, obviously said by the devil. I mean, it's the devil's tower, Cal.
Yeah,
on.
Of course. Let's get the next one. Lads, looking at War Memorial for people listening. And then we're looking at a huge number of Chads.
And to think, those guys put up with that so that I could do this
CSCooper.com.au.
Yeah, happy MAGA month. But yeah, I really love the memorial. If you ever get a chance, go to Gibraltar on one because it's lovely. Two, because it's British. And after that Spanish.
So, oh, excellent. Wonderful.
But three, I really love the war memorial they've got there because it just, it's at the roundabout. It just says those who died for the empire. And I'm just like, like there's no, I like the unforgetting nature. Whenever you go to a colonial territory, they're way more base than anything you'd write on a British.
Of course they are.
Monument.
Well, because they have a better contrast of what British culture is versus the alternative, and they're like, British culture, please, please give us the British culture.
Oh, you don't want Franco? That's weird.
Mm.
Yeah, funnily enough, there was a funny story. I don't know if it's true, but the Commodore I was with told me about it. So when Franco was in charge, apparently he built this like oil refinery on the coastal area, just around from Gibraltar, with the purpose that it would fail. And then the oil would spreak out and go and destroy the waters around Gibraltar.
So, oh, all right.
Screw over the British and then give a reason for why it's a struggling asshole and needs to be given back. Unfortunately, it broke. And then the waters went the wrong way. Went around to a Spanish town and destroyed their entire industry.
No.
And apparently Franco was a bit embarrassed by that. So
that's a hell of a backstory for Resi 4.
Going back there with
Leon. They started Las Plagas. Franco, no.
But yeah, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if there's any Gibraltarians in the chat. You can let us know, but otherwise, let's get the written comments on the site. So on the fact that only men are sexist, Radcheck was right, says, I always refer to the example of slut-shaming whenever I hear someone argue about sexism. It's not men shaming women for being sluts. Men love sluts. Sluts are great fun. It's women who slut-shame, because if they don't, they know it devalues their own produce over time.
Prudence
over time and...
like them being a whore like makes it so my apples
still works over time in a population.
Yeah, actually, yeah, my watermelons are devalued.
If women are experiencing online sexism, it's probably from other women and with a similar motivation. Yeah, 100%.
I will say that I have seen men slut shame women, but mostly it's when they get turned down by said women.
Yeah, the nice guys.
Yeah, exactly. The nice guys, the people who are leftists for the most part.
You should really, there's some YouTube channels that just read out. So there's like, you know, websites that collect all these nice guy responses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's YouTube channels that guys just read it out, and it's the funniest thing.
I've seen some of the compilations of nice guys.
I was so nice to you. Why are you turning me down, you slut? Okay. I just said I didn't want to go for drinks, Jason.
You can calm that. I'll see you at work tomorrow, but okay.
Keith Savage says, I look forward to Southgate's campaign against indentured servitude and homophobia in the Qatar prior to the World Cup. Yeah, surprisingly quiet on slavery.
He'll pipe up one of these days.
Then we've got a countdown clock. It's men. Anyway, George Happ says, since only men can be sexist and abusive, let's ask one question often forgotten in this discussion. What is a man? Somehow, the hateful feminists have no problem answering that one. For years, they had no issue feminizing men and acknowledging the trans lunacy, which is why I now simply laugh at the TERFs. I can certainly see why. Colin Parker says, ahead of women's football. That explains it. Yeah. And to women's football as well. It's the new, on Pride Month. They're defenseless women football players. Leave them alone.
I mean, you've seen that they can't kick very hard.
Itachi of Kanada says, if you're that sensitive to negative comments on social media, here's a tip. Stay off. Or at least stop posting stupid things that cause others to call out your idiocy. Yeah, I really do like that meme of just being like, I can't say the end, so what was it? How is cyberbullying real? Nuclear guys, like nuclears, just turn off the screen. Just stop looking at it, my nucleus, whatever it is. Can't say the end, can we?
You have reminded me as well, though. Didn't the American women's football team get trounced in a game of football by a bunch of high schoolers?
Yeah, and they demanded a pay rise.
This is glorious.
No one can take female football seriously. It's just unbelievably a joke.
I think part of me thinks that maybe this whole thing around, we've got so much sexism in the football industry and for women's football, all this sort of stuff, is just a way of getting people to remember that women's football is a thing in the first place.
Yeah, it probably
And no one pays any attention to it otherwise. It might just be a very advanced marketing strategy.
I mean, no one's angry at women's sport existing, but it's just when they play that feminist game and it's just like, shut up, we all know it's bollocks. So Christian Jossen says, imagine if all this brain power would go to something useful instead of just creating pointless propaganda. How much funding do these people want for FS. Comrade Starmer says she's not the one sending the death threats, aka the Claudia Webb defense. That's very true.
Yeah.
Can't believe I forgot about her.
Oh, we should have brought her up. Yeah, damn.
There was a lady who writes for The Spectator who mentioned Claudia Webb the other day, saying that she had sent acid threats. Just to remind people that Labour MPs do those things. And Claudia responded by saying, "This is libelous and I will sue." It's like, go for it.
All right.
You lost in court.
Give it a try. And let's see how round two goes.
Yeah. Justin B says, "I'll call that hate when I see it. And I see it in those EE adverts. Certainly do." I really think that is a good point. I was watching, what was it? It's the Rhodesians Never Die song, open my eyes to this. So in the Rhodesians Never Die song, there's a section there, one of the choruses, where he says, they can send their men to murder, they can shove their words of hate. And I was just like, you know, that's actually true. Because, I mean, whenever you listen to leftists, all of it is propagated by hate. And I hate that they have this monopoly on that term. It's like, right-wingers hate. When you think of hope, not hate, or you know, anything like that, and phraseology.
I would say most of it stems from hatred of their own conservative parents. Yeah. A lot of the time.
They hate men, they hate the West, they hate white people.
They hate traditional family structures because mum made me finish my greens before I was able to have dessert.
They also hate mothers, so that does fit perfectly. Yep. Marius says, EE chooses Gillette's ad agency for the Go Work, Go Broke original sin campaign. Yeah, that plays off for them. It's a bold strategy. Alexander Drake says, women have a right to grow without your judgment. No, they don't.
Yeah, I mean, there you go.
There is no right not to be judged. Absolutely right, my friend. Captain Charlie the Beagle says, personally,
personally, I happy to follow based women. He's gone.
English.
He's gone ape brain because he's talking about MMA women and they're just driving wild. I happy follow base women. Yeah.
Very sad. Very sad. MMA fighters: Rowderuzzi, Rose, Gina Carano, Irish boxer Katie Taylor. There we are. I ain't gonna get all those names right.
The first one was Ronda Rousey, and I think the second one is Rose Namajunas. Namajunas.
That is a fake name. What is your real name?
Show us your papers. Prove name.
Maximum occupancy 120. Anyway, Omar Dawad says, only men can be sexist in the same way only men can rape, according to British law, where it requires penetration. All they did is redefine a perfectly useful term to exclude their side from negative associations. Either way, this person is clearly a transphobe and definitely not a biologist. Totally true. Love the EE tweet. Russian garbage human says, love the EE tweet. Love how there's a CCTV camera right above it as well. I didn't notice that. I've got to check it. But anyway, let's move on to the drag queens.
All right. So Edward of Woodstock says, I mean, to be fair, they have cornered the market. Pride is pride. Envy, left-wingers. Wrath, Antifa. Lust, pride again. Yeah. Gluttony, fat acceptance. Sloth, left-wingers again. And greed, the BLM organizers who basically pocketed the money, and also the conservatives, unfortunately. Every one of the seven deadly sins is now considered perfectly acceptable. Yeah, we are living in a massively immoral society where it's not, I wouldn't even say they're perfectly acceptable, they're actively celebrated, which just says it all. Baron von Warhawk, no one would ever advocate giving cocaine or meth to children, yet these freaks are advocating giving pornography to children. I mean,
John Cena, are you sure about that?
Yeah, yeah. Let's not be so hasty there, Baron. I mean, Keffels probably would, actually. Even though it's just as harmful and dangerous as any drug or drink, why are they so obsessed with dragging children to hell? Is there no limit to their evil? Because if they drag other people's children to hell, it validates their own bad decisions. And also is an easy way to brainwash other people's kids, because get them while they're young, after all. Maureen Peters, every performer should stop their show as soon as they see children in the audience, but the parents are even worse. They are the ones who drag or let their offspring be dragged to these events. It's their responsibility to keep them safe from harm. I'd say it's everybody's responsibility. I mean, everyone in society should do their best, utmost, to keep children safe from harm. Shockingly enough, if I see a kid on the bus, I'm going to try and do... If I see a kid on the bus and someone's about to flash it, it's not just the responsibility of the parent. I would also get up and punch the flasher in the face.
This, you know,
it's everyone's responsibility.
Like you see a toddler walking around on their own at night in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
You think, you know, they're all right.
Oh, I don't just go, oh, it's the police. Oh, the police is responsible. Oh, it's the parents' responsibility. I go, oh, shit, there's a kid wandering about. I best do something.
You heard Dave Chappelle's joke about that?
Oh, no, I haven't.
He was in a limo and there was this black guy in the front and he said he changed to a real ghetto in the middle of his voice, which is a whole other story. But then they drove to this really ghetto neighborhood because he had to solve something. Mm-hmm. So Dave Chappelle's in the back in this limo in this ghetto-ass neighborhood. He looks over and there's like a baby on its own in the middle of the neighborhood. And it's like, that's how you know it's a bad neighborhood.
Yes, that is absolutely.
He says, I got to do something about it. But I ain't getting out of the limo. So, so he rolled down the window and started shouting at the baby. He was like, baby, go home. You shouldn't be here. And he says, the baby responds by saying, I'm selling crack. Leave me alone. I got kids to feed. Anyway.
That's funny. That's good stuff. Razak was right, says, speaking as someone who knows a few sleazeballs, no one who goes to strip club as a regular is going to be okay with the strippers walking around with toddlers. So even the sleazeballs are judging you. Nothing sobers a man up faster than seeing a child in that environment. This will destroy your business. You will not get those men back in your building. I can only hope so. I can only hope that people vote with their wallets with these sorts of businesses. Fuzzy Toaster, it's such a basic concept. It's been taboo for so many cultures for such a long time. How are we having a problem with paedophiles still? This wouldn't happen if we had gibbets, stockades, and gallows. True, but also the whole driving force of culture right now is if it was taboo in the past, it's good now. That's basically the driving motivation. Baron von Warhawk, it seems to me that those advocating the most for child transitioning in Drag Queen Story Hour are those who have had terrible childhoods and came from broken homes. But rather than try to improve themselves and break that cycle of abuse, they are hell-bent on dragging as many people with them to hell as possible. Misery loves company. Yeah, it is the endless cycle, and it is always awful to see. Jimbo G, the Trandemic was created in a lib. Suddenly, the kids missing out on school doesn't seem so bad. That is true. That's one of the benefits I've seen a lot of libertarians throw to the lockdowns, keeping kids out of school. It's like parents are able to more clearly see the indoctrination. But then again, you get places like Seattle where it's like, oh, excellent. The indoctrination is working, where the parents are probably going, yes, this is exactly what I want for my kids. So there are some who I'm sure decided to homeschool their kids instead, which has probably done the kids wonders. But there are plenty who have just been letting the Zoom calls take it all and not really cared enough because they're not doing their part as parents should. Colin Parker, drag is supposed to refer to the exaggerated female clothing, not pulling a three-year-old around so they are almost running. Good point. Good point. Anyway, those are yours.
Okay. So Michael says, intergenerational mortgages for people who aren't having kids. Good idea.
It's a good point as well, actually.
It's also true. It's like, yeah, we'll do that in a native population. Right. Baron von Warhawk says, whatever faith in Boris Johnson people still have should be destroyed at this point. There is no doubt that Boris was nothing but an English rhino. Tino? His actions have proven that he hates England and her people. He has no respect for her past or present, and it's actively destroying her future. He sides with crazy Marxists at every opportunity and will never stop betraying his supporters. Anyone who voted for this Bond bastard was fooled. He's not England's friend, but England's greatest enemy. Well, he had one purpose, because we must remember back, I mean, to give fairness to what went on. In 2019, it was the Brexit vote again. Basically, are we actually going to do this? Are we actually going to actually have Brexit done and at least fulfill the referendum? So that is what that election was about, fundamentally. And, okay, as soon as he served that purpose, there were a list of other things that his supporters, you know, obviously had. They were like, we could do these as well.
Nope.
And big no. And I was like, okay.
He peaced out on that.
Fine, then you need to go. And, well, I think that's a position to have. Colin Parker says, and we move another step towards new feudalism. They don't just want us all to be serfs. They want us to be unfree serfs. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a free serf is.
I was going
to
say, it sounds like a redundancy there.
Shaker Silver says, the Tories have always been neoliberal globalists that will sell the long-term well-being of their constituents in order to secure their immediate and political economic future.
Yep.
To some degree, yeah. I mean, with Thatcher, no. But that's a whole lot of conversation to be had.
Some would make the argument that Thatcher was the one who opened up the neoliberal floodgates for all of this.
Ideologically, to some degree, but...
I mean, didn't she say that Tony Blair was her greatest political achievement?
She died.
Yeah, maybe but, it was a. If she'd said greatest political regret,
yeah, might have been more base. But it definitely is. I really hate this rephrasing of her era as like something that brought on everything that's to come. Mm. Like no, because the state of the British economy being semi-socialist did have to be absolutely destroyed.
Oh, it absolutely did. I agree with that.
Anyway, Free Will says the new housing estate near me has a lot of shared purchase schemes. The new homeowners only pay up to 75% of the property, and there is a minimum of a one-year wait to purchase the remainder. Meanwhile, there are monthly rents of £300. That's nothing. And this does not go towards buying the remainder of the property, but is pure profit for the housing company. if it takes you 5 years to pay the remainder of the cost for the house, that would be an additional £21,000 to pay on top of the purchase cost. I mean, that's not ideal. But again, but this whole thing fundamentally comes down to, okay, you need to build houses, right? For how many people? And, well, not that many for the natives, whereas for the foreign population, quite a lot. Robert Longshaw says, sure, cool, pass your debt on to their grandchildren too. How can you pass on a debt to a person that never agreed to take it on due to not existing yet? Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole slavery aspect of it, really, the serfdom.
Edward of Woodstock. I mean, also just the logic there. It's like, right, so we put the kid into 100 grand's worth of debt, but don't worry, we'll get him out of it by putting him and taking his debt and putting it on the grandkid on top of the other debt.
Yeah. I mean, when we open up that line of argument, okay, the kids can take on the parents' obligations.
Forever, can just keep
obligations forever. Yeah,
getting worse.
How long will it be until Edward of Woodstock's about to point it out in the next comment. Actually, why can't we also shift that logic over to jail sentences? When you're in prison, you know. Oh, sorry, your dad died before his term was up, and he had another 25 to go, little Timmy. So in the cell you go.
Joy. Oh, they're saying that there's if you go to Oxford Castle, there's a moment in there where they tell you about the horrors of the 1800s. And there was a little girl who stole a pram, so she went before a court, and they gave her, what was it, like 7 days labor? And this is told to you as if it's the worst thing ever. And then me and Carl were chatting about it, both been there, and Carl's response was, it's nothing. Well, they just had a washing up.
Yeah,
it's fine. Mean,
the labor that they're going to put a kid under is not going to be like, oh, in the mines with you, Sarah.
Yeah, whole other story. Anyway, we're out of time, so I can't go through the rest, but... Looks like a lot of people are pissed off like me. Anyway, if you want more from us, loadsears.com, of course. Otherwise, we're back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.